Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
Why don't you say some confessions when they shout, tonight is the night that I believe God is working behind the scenes for me to do something great. I want to talk to you tonight about the power of prayer. Prayer. What is prayer? Prayer really in the most sincerest form is just a conversation with God. So, you know, we know the Lord's Prayer. We know our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We get into this prayer, and sometimes we just repeat that prayer as if it were some kind of just like statement, you know? So it's like, we almost say it fast, like, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, we forgive our debtors, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You might as well say, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Okay, it doesn't really mean something. That prayer was a guideline for you and I to communicate with God. So you're starting out with praise and prayer, saying, our Father which art in heaven, God, I just thank you today for your goodness, for your mercy. God, I thank you that you're on the scene doing things that I cannot see, God. And then we actually get also further into that one statement. If you read it in Matthew, it says, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, here's something kind of interesting. My dad, he was a cop, you know, and really a good cop, nice cop. How many know there's good cops and bad cops? And the good cops are the ones that let you go. The bad cops are the ones that pull you over, right? Those are the bad cops. And my dad was a cop, and he had this thing called the badge, and he had this thing called mace, and he had this thing called a gun, right? These were all levels of authority. My dad had the power to stop traffic, had the power to stop people, freeze, stop, hey. And then he could use whatever necessary means of force, accelerated to the point of necessary, up to deadly force. Only if necessary, but deadly force. He had authority and power. Now, here's the interesting part about the prayer that we're talking about right now. God said, I want my will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I have a question for you today, Palm Beach, and it is this. How many of y'all don't think God's up in heaven going, man, I don't know what in the world's going on with racism in the world. I just hope to God we can pay the bills. Lord, I hope a Democrat or a Republican gets in. Oh, I just don't know. How many of y'all do not believe that God is freaked out about what's going on in the world? Raise your hand if that's you, okay? But God has us, his people, here on the earth, in the earth realm, to pray prayers, so you and I are in charge. So in other words, he gave us a badge, and he gave us authority, and he gave us power, and he said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But a lot of times, we aren't praying binding prayers, we aren't praying loosing prayers. In fact, we ain't praying at all. Prayer is something that needs to happen in our lives every day. Now, let me tell you what I want to let you know for sure. I don't want to paint the picture at this church or any of our campuses that, man, I just get up every morning and it's like angels come to me and they're like, ah, and I'm like, oh God, so glad you're here this morning, Holy Spirit. A lot of times I don't wake up and say, good morning, Lord. I wake up and say, good Lord, it's morning. Anybody not talking? Good Lord, it's just hard. So the temptation is not to pray, not to pray. Now, again, for years, I would see it as just a responsibility, a drudgery, what's going to happen? Ah, gosh, I don't want to do that. It's a waste of time. And I would even say things like maybe you are today. I would say, I don't have time to pray. You don't have time not to pray. We have to pray. The Bible didn't say if you pray, it says when you pray. See, Jesus was in the greatest fight of his life and he's down for the count. We're getting ready to lead up to the last moments of his life. And in the last evening of his life, he looks at his disciples and he says, cannot you tarry with me 1 hour? He said, I need you to pray that your faith fail not. See, when we don't pray, we don't have power. When we don't have power, then we don't have the ability to withstand the sin. And so our prayers look like this. They're always asking God, God, forgive me. I'm embarrassed sometimes because I'm embarrassed to talk to God about the sin that I did. In fact, anybody in here, you ever committed a sin and you didn't really want to break the news to God that you committed the sin because you were pretty sure you were going to jack up again before next Thursday night? Come on, raise your hand, Palm Beach, right now. That's what we do. Our flesh never got saved. Our spirit is willing. Our flesh is weak. But to keep our flesh under control, we need to pray to God. And the prayer is not a religious prayer. It's just a conversation with God. So it would look like this. God, I'm embarrassed to tell you that I've messed up again. God, can you help me? God, I don't know why I keep doing that. But God, if you could reveal to me things that are continuous patterns that make me do that. And God, until you continue to reveal that and give me strength and courage, God, I'm asking you to forgive me right now, according to, check this out, 1 John 1 and 9. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful, through prayer, through faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So now I dust myself off and I go, wait a minute, just because I made a mistake doesn't mean I lost my badge. Just because my dad sometimes would speed, even though he would give people tickets, come on somebody, for speeding, but yet he would speed himself. Can somebody shout hypocrite up in here tonight? Okay, so there's something about it to where my dad didn't feel bad giving you a ticket because he wasn't coming in his authority. He says, you broke the law. The day I broke the law, nobody caught me. Somebody ought to say amen in here. They didn't take away his power. He was still a police officer. He still had the armed forces, if necessary, backing him so he could restore order in the world. That tonight is the night I want to convince you beyond all reasonable doubt that God has given you the same power that he gave Jesus here in the earth realm. Come on. And whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. There is no distance in prayer. God put us here in charge. Come on, look at your neighbor and snap your neck, snap. I'm in charge. Mm-hmm. Come on, shout it. Mm-hmm. That's right. So check this out. There's power in prayer. Now, remember I said a minute ago that sometimes I feel bad talking to God about the sin? When we tell God about the sin, it's not when he found out about it. It's not like, man, when's a good time to bring it to God? He saw us when we did it, okay? So God's going, how many days is it gonna take before you run to me with your sin instead of continuing to run away with the sin? Because if you keep running down this trail, you'll keep looking for love in all the wrong places. You're gonna look for, this'll cover it up, this'll cover it up, this'll cover it up. What, this, somebody ought to, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Yes, I did. Okay, so you know what you do, and this pattern that you always fall into is a fat pattern of sin because we don't have the power to withstand temptation. Jesus knew the only way I'm going to make it to the cross of Calvary and do the will of the Father is I got to pray tonight because I'm going to be tempted not to follow through with this. Somebody ought to shout amen. God is moving you right now through the power of prayer, putting a desire in you to make you want to pray. Come on, shout, I want to pray. Look at your neighbor and shout, you need to pray. I knew you needed to pray. Mm-hmm. There's power in prayer. So I definitely want to paint a picture that I did not for years really take prayer seriously. I didn't know that what it did for me. I didn't know how it changed my life. But I want you to go with me, and this will spur you on to prayer. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but fervent prayer for him was persistently made by God and by the church. Check this out. It goes on to say that Peter is now in prison, but the church prayed. He's in a bad situation, but the church prayed for him. Verse 5, he was in prison, but they made fervent prayer for him. Verse 7, and suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared, standing beside him, and a light shone in the place where the angel gently smote him, touched him. Peter on one side and awakened him, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hand. Check this out. He's in jail. He's laying there. I'm just in jail. It's over. He's in stocks and bonds, not the good kind. And he's laying there. And all of a sudden, the church is praying, oh, God, I thank you that you're going to do something good. Not, you never know what the Lord's going to do. It said there is fervent prayer. Everybody shout, fervent prayer. That means you believe, you receive when you pray. You're saying, I speak to that mountain, and I say, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and I'm not going to doubt in my heart, but I believe those things which I say shall come to pass, and I'll have whatever I say. God, I don't see it yet, but I know it's going to happen. A bunch of old Pentecostal people in there, and they're praying, and while they're praying, he's sleeping, and then all of a sudden, God decides to move, and the angel of the Lord that excels in strength shows up in the chains, in the prison, in the middle of the night, and the angel's kind of quiet. He says, shh, be quiet. What just happened? My chains fell off. And that's where we got that song. Took the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I just want to praise him. Come on. I just want to pray. Okay, so maybe not, but there it is. Okay, so he said, shh, be quiet. And it says that they walked through the prison, and as soon as they would go from one gate to another gate, in fact, verse 10 says, they passed through the first guard and the second, and they came to the iron guard, iron gate, which leads to the city, and of its own accord, the gate swung open. There's power in prayer. They come up to an iron gate, and of its own accord, it said, whoop. They're entering into new levels. Passing devils, moving into the realm of the spirit, because there's this secret force of a bunch of grandmas praying. Somebody's got a grandma somewhere that prayed for you, and that's the reason why you're in this church tonight. You're there because somebody prayed. They walk through, and as they walk through, another gate opens, and another gate opens. In fact, he looks around, and he's thinking, Peter's thinking to himself, I don't even know if this is really happening right now. The Bible said that it's like those that dream a dream. There can be so many good things happening in your life. You're going, can I be awake right now? Through the power of prayer. Everybody shout, the power of prayer. Verse 11 said, then Peter came to himself and said, I don't even know. I'm not even sure that this is the Lord of the angels that delivered me. In other words, I don't even know for sure that I'm awake. Verse 13, and when he knocked at the gate of the porch of the maid named Rhonda, she came to answer, recognizing Peter's voice. Her joy had failed, and she failed to open the gate. Now, here's what happened. He finally gets to the house where they've been praying for him. He gets out of prison. The angel's leading him. Shh, we're out. This is good. And he knocks at the door, and they're in there. Oh, God, I think he's trying to do something for Peter. God, deliver him. God, he's in the worst trial of his life. Oh, God. And he gets to the door, and he knocks at the door. When he knocks, Rhonda answers, and Rhonda goes, fails to let him in and runs back in the house, freaking out. And see, they go, Peter's out in front. Peter's out outside. They say, are you serious? Can you be serious? Why didn't you let him in? Oh, my God, I forgot to let him in. She goes back, and she lets him into the house. It was almost too good to be true. It was unreal. She got so excited. She wasn't even really ready for God to do the manifestation of the prayer yet. It just showed up so quick. The chains busted off. The prison gates opened, and he winds up where they're praying. I'm praying for you that you're coming out of debt. You're coming out of this trial. You're coming out of this addiction. Somebody ought to help me right now. I'm telling you, the devil has tried to keep you back, but God's saying, I'm still on the throne. I still know how to get water out of a rock. I know how to split a Red Sea. I can do it. Yes. I'm excited. I'm so excited. And I just can't hide it. Come on, sing it with me. I'm about to lose control, and I think I like you, cray cray, West Palm Beach. I'm telling you, prayer is powerful. That's why Jesus said, not if you pray. He said, when you pray. Jesus said, pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, temptation comes. In fact, temptation doesn't just knock at the door. Temptation bangs at the door. Anybody ever had temptation bang at the door? You don't raise your hand. I know you're a liar right now, and you don't want people to know that right now. Your temptation might be different. My temptation, it comes in the area of food. Comfort food. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I love it. Pizza gets delivered. There's stuff running around West Palm where they deliver food to your house. In fact, the pizza man in West Palm Beach, he knows where I live. I just call him up and I tell him what I want and they show up. He doesn't even have to knock at the door. He just walks right in. I could be in the bathtub and he would know where to find me. I'm going to eat my pizza. Everybody shout, I'm going to eat my pizza. In fact, people always say, you know, don't eat before bed. I agree. Don't eat before bed. Eat in bed. It's the best place to eat, right? Then you get up in the morning and you exercise just like all of us. I get up every morning, I exercise. I run around the block 4 times and I kick the block back under the bed and I go back to sleep, right? But there is something that happens sometimes in my mind. It triggers me and I go back to the pattern of, it'll make me feel better if I eat that. But yet, like Adam and Eve in the garden, I'm ashamed because I know I didn't pray, I wasn't strong enough, and I fell into the temptation. Now, we're human, so we're going to fall into temptation, and thank God for the blood of Jesus and the grace of God, we don't lose our badge of authority any more than my daughter disbehaving makes her not my daughter. It's not like, oh, four sins, you're out, Ashton, no more do you possess the name Crank. Your last name is Kimosabi. I don't know what. You don't lose it. You don't lose your salvation, but you lose that intimacy that makes you want to talk to God or hashtag prayer. So now I'm down and I try to cover it. With me, a lot of times, I cannot be trusted with Girl Scout cookies. If there's a tube of Girl Scout cookies in there, come on, let's just thank God for Girl Scout cookies, God, right now. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done. They knock at the door. You order some. They come in a few weeks later, and you know, hide them because your cray-cray kids are going to eat them. Somebody ought to say amen. You got to hide them. Anybody got a hiding spot? Raise your hand if you got a hiding spot. You know where it's at. And sometimes I will get the tube, open it up, eat the tube, and then my flesh says, open up the other tube. I'm like, no, open it. No, open it. Ah! My spirit's willing, but my flesh is weak. So then I go ahead and eat half of the other one, and then it tells me, look at you. You're a disgrace. When Nicole gets home and she finds out, she's going to know you're out of control. So I can't waste it. So what I do is I go ahead and eat the other half of the tube. And then I've been known to, and nobody's probably going to identify with this, but this is my deal. I've been known to actually physically take something outside in the trash can, lift up other debris, and shove it under it to try to come on, somebody ought to understand what I'm saying right now. Anybody ever done that? Look, some of you skinny people look at me like messed up. I don't even know what to say about you right now, but I've been praying and I don't want to say anything, but how many of you know fat people are hard to kidnap? Come on, somebody else say amen. So I got some people in here tonight, you got six-pack abs. Well, I got six-pack abs, but they're covered by this protective coating that I put on it. Okay, so now the shame hits my game and I feel framed and lame and I can't talk the same because I feel condemned. God didn't say, pray if you feel like, oh, I feel like Joyce Meyer today. Praise God. Where the mind goes, the man follows. The battlefield of the mind. No, it's not based on how we feel. It's based on the fact that God said, whatever we bind on earth, we have authority, we have power. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. A mature Christian says, I realize that there is an invisible power between heaven and earth, and heaven is waiting for me to declare something, and the enemy knows that if I open my mouth that I can stop wars, I can start churches, I can feed the hungry. Somebody ought to help me. We can change things in America today. Racism can be moved. Come on. Weather patterns can be moved. I prophesy to you right now that the devil is trying to keep you from talking to God, because if you talk to God, he's going to say, you're my kid. Is there anything you want? What do you want? You're the baby. My daughter wants to go to a concert, actually tomorrow night. And she was $2 short. She walked up to me and she knew. She didn't try to go to her mama. Some of you know it said, our Father which art in heaven. Didn't say nothing about your mama. Your mama got good sense. She's like, you ain't paying all that money for those tickets. So she came to her father. And she didn't come to me and say, Father, if it be thy will, if there's any way that you could just bestow upon me $2 to go to this concert, God, Dad, I know I'm not worthy of it. No, she just walked around and she's so cute and she looks like me. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. May I suggest to you that you look like your father too? You're made in the spitting image of God. He formed you. Somebody ought to shout amen. He renewed you. So that's part of the reason the devil doesn't like you, is when you took on Christ, you look just like your daddy. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look just like your daddy. So it might not be you the devil doesn't like. It might be your daddy that he doesn't like, because he remembers the day that he went down in hell and he took from him his power to destroy your life. Mm-hmm. Come on, shout it with me. Mm-hmm. Now here she walks up to me. She doesn't cry. She walks up with full confidence and she said, hey, Daddy, you love me. I said, yeah, you know I love you. She said, I'm only $2 short. She didn't even say, I need $2. She said, I'm only $2 short for the concert. And I said, well,
Well, here's $10. I gave her more than she needed. She, after that, there was no thank you, daddy, I love you. She's like, bye. And she got online to do what she knew she needed to do, which was use somebody else's card, credit card, and give them the cash. I gave her more than enough. When Jesus died for you and I on the cross 2,000 years ago, he prayed before he went that he would not fall into temptation to say, I'm not going to do it. And then when he went to the cross, his death was such a massive, magnanimous overpayment for your debt that now he looks at you and goes, why don't you go to dad and ask whatever you will and it'll be given to you. You have not because you ask not. Whatever you ask the Father in the name of Jesus, he will give it to you. That's the power of prayer. So get up in the morning and just talk to God. Somebody shout, just talk to God. Now, what it looks like for me is, in fact, today you should, if you don't have a journal, a prayer journal, you should get one. This is a beautiful one because it says faithchurch.com. People connect, families grow, lives are changed. That's nice, isn't it? I journal. Now, you might not be comfortable going, God, I thank you today, Lord. And you're just like, man, I run out of words. Anybody ever been there? You're just like, I'm kind of run out of words. You're like, I'm praying an hour. Jesus said, could you not tarry 1 hour? You're like, I'm going to pray an hour. You're like, God, I love you. God, you're awesome. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? The land of the free, the home of the brave. How long has it been? It's been an hour. It's been 2 minutes. Oh, my God. But yet, have you ever been talking to somebody that you love? You're on a date. Candles are lit. You're at a table. And the song comes on. Put on your red dress. Let all your hair down. Okay, maybe not that song, but whatever your song is. You can tell how old I am right now. When Nicole hears that song, she knows. Mow chicken, wow, wow. You know what I'm saying? There's this intimacy that happens. So you're talking to her, you're talking to him, and the night passes. You ever been on a date? It was like, phew, boom, because you had something to talk about. It was a quiet place. The mood was right. So maybe for you, it's just journaling. So here's what it looks like for me. Every day, there's a certain place I go. If I'm in, at our condo in West Palm Beach that we've had for a couple years, there's a couch I go to. I sit right there. There's a view of the intercoastal, and I talk to God. Then I journal what God said to me. And the reason why journaling is so important is a lot of times, and write this down, when you're talking to God and you journal, it helps you know if you're kind of heavy on correction and low on direction. I'm going to say it again. Some days, it's like for 30 days, I look back over my prayer journal and I go, whoa, he was really heavy on correction. Very little direction. So if prayer corrects me so God can direct me. So when I talk to God, he talks back to me, and it's never condescending or mean. He just said, can I tell you something? You need to go back and tell Nicole you're sorry because that wasn't right. And then God deals with me now correction, direction, when he told me to start the church in West Palm Beach, which I'm so glad of, especially in the winter months. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. In January, I love it down there. In July, July 7th, July 9th, July 10th, July August, it's so hot the chickens are laying hard-boiled eggs. It is hot. Try to put your seatbelt on, and it's a branding iron. You touch the, oh, my Lord, it's hot. But in the wintertime, ooh, crazy. But God's direction for me to go to Palm Beach came out of my prayer log. I can take you to this prayer log where it actually came out of this prayer log several years ago when he started correcting me, and then I obeyed his correction, and after I obeyed his correction, then I got his further direction. Now, if you're a note taker, write this down. God will give you no specific direction until you follow his general direction. You don't pencil it in. You ink it in. But okay, so I just thought of this. It was like the Holy Spirit just brought this up to me. The good news is about when we do video feed is it doesn't matter how long we go. So you're pretty much screwed. You're going to be here till midnight. So there you have it. Now it's me and Nicole have been married 17 years. What if on our anniversary date, I penciled it in that we were going to go to dinner? How many of y'all can already see this is a problem? That whole death do we part thing, she's got a conceal and carry, she'll kill me, tell God I died, and find another one like me.
It's not, she doesn't want me to pencil that in. This is a priority. We ink it in. So what if I didn't show up on her anniversary night? Ah, you know, I decided to go camping with my friends. Stick with them, buddy. Enjoy your tent. Is God not more important than our relationship with our husband or wife? Certainly those are very important things. We're not making light of them, but it is a very huge, big deal for us to say, okay, God, every day I'm going to have this meeting place with you. And for me, like I said, in Palm Beach, it's one thing. At our house in St. Louis, it's another thing. It's a porch, and I sit there, and it's where God gave me enough correction to straighten me out, to deal with my character issues, because I got them. I'm just like you. I've got things about me that I hate. I've got addictions that keep coming back. I've got prayers that I pray over and over and go, God, I can't believe I did it again, man. Forgive me, God. And I hear him say, you're doing better. And then sometimes, and he just spoke to me this probably 2 days ago. He said, you know how you can get better on some of this stuff? I said, what? It's a correction note. I'm writing here in this fresh journal. You should have a new one every year, hopefully every few months. He spoke to me and said, watch the direction come. I don't want you to be general in generalities with your sin. I want you to actually confess the sin. Because usually I pray a prayer like this. God, you know, I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me from all unrighteousness. And it's just like this big pile that I throw on the table and I don't really have to deal with it. But God's going, hey, I know how you can get better. How about we go to that big pile and we go, that one? God, that's what I did. God, I'm sorry for that. I want to do better. God, help me to do better. And if I keep going back every day and I keep pulling up the same one, and now this is not to have a sin consciousness. This is to keep us from self-destructing. You understand that God will forgive us, but maybe people won't. We see preachers falling like flies across America. What's the deal? They're just like us. They're all sinners. And we preach righteousness and forgiveness and grace, and we should do that. But I'm telling you, the devil tries to take you out. He gives me more opportunities to fail than you can even imagine. Like I would have dreamed when I was a sinner to have the incredible frequent opportunities to do cray-cray, freaky-deaky things. Come on, so don't look at me like that right now. You're like, how could you be preaching gospel and almost crying and talking about, oh, the freaky-deaky? My flesh never got saved. That's the confusion. You and I are thinking, you're not acting like a Christian. We are acting like a Christian. Our flesh isn't acting like a Christian. The whole Jekyll and Hyde thing is the fact that we have to see a difference between our do and God's done. And we need to focus on God's done, but we got to watch what we do. Somebody ought to say amen. But the only way we can do right is to say, God, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to write down the correction. And I want to write down the direction. And I see, really, the only way that we're going to go further, faster. And I just talked to God. And God talked back to me. He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger there will not follow. These strange voices that keep pulling us over here and pulling us over there. It's the enemy and the enemy trying to get us to self-destruct. And we want to do better, but we can't do better because we're prayerless. Therefore, we're careless. And then the enemy gets us to destroy ourselves. God's tugging on your heart. You can feel it beating. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you a question. Nobody looking around in this beautiful auditorium tonight, the stage is set and the screen that you're looking at, I don't want you to look at it right now. I don't want you looking at the beautiful lights. I don't want you looking at the tan walls. I don't want you looking at the red chairs. I want you to close your eyes and ask yourself a question. And here's the question I want you to ask. I've been definitely avoiding God, and part of it's because I feel bad. And now I got to ask myself a question. Am I going to avoid God, or am I just going to be honest with God? Sometimes it's really hard to be honest. If your marriage is going to get better, you got to ask her, what do I do that drives you crazy? And you don't want to ask that because you're afraid of what she might say. You can't be afraid to confront. That's the moment. If you keep leaving 10% on the table, it's always going to be disruptive, and there's going to be disharmony and there's friction. The same thing happens with God. Even if you don't feel like you're getting along with God tonight, God's getting along with you, and the devil has tried to supernaturally separate you. If that's you tonight, raise your hand. Come on, all over this building right now. And let God see you. Come on, be honest with me right now. Raise that hand. Come on. God sees that hand. From the front to the back to the side. Thank you for being honest with God. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you, not in fancy words, not in Elizabeth in English, but just in my own voice, I ask you to forgive me. And God, I also thank you for this message tonight. This wasn't a sermon. This was a word to me. And starting tonight, tomorrow, driving down the road, I'm just going to talk to you. We can call it prayer, but maybe it should be called conversations with my dad. And you'll talk to me, and I'll talk to you. And eventually, there'll be less correction and more direction. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com. We open up.